is with me each day,
is with me each day.
I'm clinging to him,
I'm clinging to him,
and never to stray,
and never to stray.
For singing his praises all day long, I'm going that way.
Amen, amen, and good morning to everyone.
Good morning.
It is good to be in the house of the Lord this morning. How's everybody doing? God is good. Everybody all right?
Yes.
Some of you look like you need a hug this morning. Do you love God?
Yes.
I really love the
Lord.
Sing it if you love him. Yes, I really love the Lord. And you don't know
what he's done for me.
Oh, yes, he gave me
the victory.
Yes, and that's why I love, oh, I love him. Sing it better than that. Sing it with me. And I really love the Lord. Oh, well, I really love the Lord. Yes, and you don't know what he's done for me. Oh, yes, he gave me. Yes, and that's why I love, oh, I love him. I really love the
Lord.
He watches over me. And he watches over me. Is over me, and you don't know what it's
done for me.
Oh, yes, he gave
me the victory.
Thank you, Father. And that's why I love, oh, I love him. And that's why I love the Lord. I love him. I really love. Oh, we got to sing it one more time. Yes, and you don't know what he's done for me. Oh, yes, he gave
me the
victory. And that's why I love the Lord. I love him. I really love the
Lord.
Yes. Amen, amen, amen. I want to sing some more, but I got to preach. Amen. If you are visiting with us this morning, you're truly our honored guests, and thank you so much for blessing us with your presence. Amen. Our elders will acknowledge all of our visitors at the end of our worship service. Those of you that's watching by way of television, thank you for tuning in. We hope we can say something that may prick your heart this morning that will help you from the Word of God. If you need to talk to somebody, if you need someone to pray with you, if you have a question, a Bible question, please call the number on your screen and we'll minister to you. We'll answer the question the best way we can. And we hope that you do call us. But more than that, we hope you visit us at your earliest convenience this morning. I want to start this morning a series of lessons, hopefully, the Lord willing, that will take us through the end of this year, if the Lord says we're going to get through the end of this year. And I've entitled this series, I have about four titles for it. No Time to Quit. That's one of them. The second half series, fourth quarter, you know I played sports. Fourth quarter series, finish line series. So you take your pick on the name or the title of the series. But or you can call it the Joshua series from the Word of God. I think I've stated this more than once that, you know, certain passages, I think we as preachers, I don't know, we read, study, teachers, Bible school teachers, those of us that are members, we have our favorite. We call them our favorite. And I think every time I study something a while, I say, this is my favorite passage. But this is a wonderful, wonderful book in the Word of God. If you so deem it worthy of you, I wish you would read it, the book of Joshua. And today's lesson, I want to entitle, How to Get from Here to There. How to Get from Here to There. We meet in the book of Joshua, Joshua chapter 1. And the brother read in your hearing, I'm going to read it again. Now, everybody's all right this morning?
All right.
Like this cool weather?
Yeah.
It's nice, isn't it? Yeah, it's nice, isn't it? Really nice. Good to see you here. Leave your troubles out there for right now. Okay? Some of you look like you're a little stressed this morning. God is good, isn't he?
He is.
And just relieve your minds. If you need to close your eyes, and God is in our presence where two or three are gathered together in his name. It's going to be all right. You can't cook nothing in here. You can't solve any issues right now. So just allow the Lord to minister to us this morning. Joshua 1:1. Now it came about after the death of Moses, the servant of the Lord, that the Lord spoke to Joshua. I don't have time to go over the whole history. Joshua was Moses' protege. He actually worked side by side with Moses from his teenage years. It's so many lessons in this for leadership. That's not my focus this morning. Now, at this time, Joshua is probably in his maybe 40, but he's middle age. And the Bible says Moses died, which all of us are going to what? Yeah. Either we're going to die or we're going to be here when Jesus comes. Again, it's the way of the world. I mean, it's the way of the world. I don't care how young you look now, you're going to die. Amen, somebody. And nobody is indispensable. What do you mean, Brother Gary? We can all be replaced. As much as you think that your family can't live without you, die and find out. As much as you think your job can't make it, can't have a meeting without you. Yeah. Moses, it's in Deuteronomy, the Bible says there was no other prophet like Moses that God met face to face with him. There's none other like him, but Moses died and the world went on even after Moses. And the Bible says he spoke to Joshua, son of Nun, saying, Moses, my servant, is dead. Now, therefore, arise. This title from here to there. I borrowed this title. I can't remember the guy's name, Michael, his last name. Not his content, but his title. I like the title. I've used it before, I believe. He said, therefore, arise, cross this Jordan. You know, some of you know your history that God made a promise to Moses, and he said he was going to give them this promised land. And it hadn't been given. It had been given, but it hadn't been realized. And there's yet some things they have to do. Joshua was one of the spies that went over to spy the land. The other was Caleb. Caleb and Joshua and Caleb issued a report of great faith that this land is plenty. It flows with milk and honey, and it is ours for the taking. 10 other spies brought back this grave report. It's giants over there. They're going to kill us. Lord, we should go back to Egypt. And God didn't allow them who had no faith to go through in this promised land. And they said they're going to kill all of our children. And God made them wander in the wilderness for 40 years. But Moses died, Joshua is there, and now all the youngsters, all of the young ones, Joshua is to be the leader of the children of Israel now. And he said to cross this Jordan. And how are they going to get from where they are right now to over there? And I just want to, as we analyze these great principles of God leading his people and us following him and how God works. We serve the same God. He's the same yesterday, today, and forevermore. And he's the same God. He's the same God that led them, and God can lead us if we allow him to lead us. And he issues this challenge to Joshua. He says, the land is yours, but you got to cross over this Jordan. As even today, God, I believe he issues us challenges. It's amazing about God. He could make us do what he want him to do, but God does not make us. And this was a worthy challenge, but it was shown off a challenge. You got to know about the Jordan River. The Jordan River, the word Jordan means descender, descender. It was a river that started, went 65 miles from the Sea of Galilee down, and it emptied into the Dead Sea. And the river descended 600 feet as it was flowing from north to south, 600 feet. And it had currents all the different places. Some scholars say it had as many as 27 waterfalls or cascades where the water rushed all through this time. And where they were close to the Dead Sea and the city of Jericho on the other side, where they were is where they were supposed to cross. And at this particular time, it was flooding time. How do you know that? Joshua chapter 3, verse 15. Joshua 3:15. And when those who had carried the ark came into the Jordan, and the feet of the priests carrying the ark were dipped into the edge of the water, for the Jordan overflows all its banks all the days of the harvest, around April, May. And it was flooding time. And where they were normally would be about 180 feet across. But during flooding time, when the banks overflowed, it was about double that. And so you have this river that has currents that are going from 5 to 10 miles an hour, and the water is flowing down, and it's flowing down. And your God tells Joshua, "You got to cross this Jordan at this flooding time of the season." You know, it's amazing how. Things that we look at as a challenge, God, they are nothing to God. And God issues this challenge to them, and you think God didn't know it was flooding time? Yeah. And I got a question I got to ask. How's your faith this morning? Yeah, how's your faith this morning? Yeah, is your faith stopping you from being where God would have you to be? And then I have another question this morning. Where are you right now? Is it somewhere you want to stay forever? And the children of Israel, they had been in some hard times. They had been in Egypt for a long time. They had been wandering in the wilderness. You think they're not ready for a place of rest? A place that they want to call home? But there is yet something for them to do. And this shown off challenge that God was, so God would have to stop this water from rushing, and the sea is kind of leaning down, the current is kind of going down, and God would have to stop all of this flooding water for them to get across. And the next question I have for us this morning is, what is your Jordan this morning? Yeah, what is your Jordan this morning? It's amazing that this major challenge is a major challenge, but it was a worthy challenge. See, the challenge itself is scary when you look at it because it's so big. But if they were going to get on the other side, it was the only way that they were going to go. And I don't know. I was just thinking about my own personal life. And one of the things that I do know, that if the challenge is easy, we can do it ourselves. You know, and we don't depend on God for God, it seems like all throughout the Bible that God wanted to make sure people understood when they overcame their challenge, they gave God the credit for it. I'm coming to understand in my life, Lord have mercy, you know, things I can do for myself, things that I know that I have the ability to do, they don't concern me as much, but things that are bigger, we worry and we shrink back. And it makes us stay right where we are. And some of us right now, some of us, it's time for us to move. It's time for us to do something. It's time for us. Aren't we tired of staying in the same place? Oh, what's stopping us, Brother Gary? It's the challenge. It's the Jordan River. Yeah, it's the Jordan River that stands before us. And we stand and look. But I tell you what. A word that challenges is a challenge that's going to stretch us. Yeah, it's going to make us work. Really understanding human nature and how we are, if the challenge is not worthy, it's not going to motivate us anyway. Amen. If the challenge is not big enough, it's not going to stir us anyway. And so we have to be willing to receive the challenges. In order to get from here to there, we have to be able to see it, and we have to be able to receive the challenge, and have to be able to know that God can get us to the other side. Yeah, I was reading in the Bible of all of the individuals who had a former life. Anybody here got a former life? Yeah, you know what I'm talking about. Yeah, Paul, Apostle Paul, this is Paul told Timothy in 1 Timothy chapter 1, verse 13. 1 Timothy 1, 13. Even though I was formerly a blasphemer and a persecutor and a violent aggressor, yet I was shown mercy because I acted ignorantly in unbelief. Paul says, I was formerly, and he named a lot of things. He said, I blasphemed against God. He says, I was a persecutor and I was violent. Anybody relate to that? He said, I was a violent. It's amazing how we can change when we put our mind to it and we trust in God. Listen to Acts chapter 8, verse 9. Acts 8, 9. Now there was a man named Simon who formerly was practicing magic in the city and astonishing the people of Samaria, claiming to be someone great. I can break it down to you. He was a crook is what he was. Yeah, he was just tricking folks. And making out that it was great, he was great, but he knew that he was nothing but a con man. But he was formerly that, and now he became a believer. Amen, somebody. And so see, the challenge, all of us have challenges, but if you want to get from here to there, some changes need to be made. Yeah, he says the former life, a challenge. You know what I mean? And you know, some of our challenges may seem small to some people, but they're big to us. Yeah, our Jordan River might be at the job that you're on right now. Either the job is not conducive to if you want to get from where you are to somewhere. See, and when we say from here to there, when we say our Jordan River, it's where we see something better. Anybody want better this morning? A better life. A more fulfilling, spiritual, wholesome life, and a better family, and our Jordan River can be a whole lot of things, and the Jordan is what's keeping us from crossing over. Yeah. If your job is, you know, you working, so I said, bro, I only have these only skills I have. Yeah, the river is big. Yeah, it is wide. The water is flowing, but stop looking at the water. Stop looking at the situation and depend on God. Notice this. We quote the scripture, without faith, it's impossible to please God. And faith is the substance of things hope for, the evidence of things not seen. I'm just reading this passage, and how the only thing that's going to get Joshua and the children of Israel across that river is faith in God. Because looking at it, we can't do this. Amen. What's your joy in this morning? Brother Gary, I don't need that pie in the sky kind of stuff. Well, see, that's the devil talking to you. Yeah. And that's what the devil does to our faith. And he says, you're just talking, that's unrealistic. It's not unrealistic to put your trust in God. Because if you want to get from here to there, in God's way, you have to depend on God, even when you can't see it. Yeah, your job. One of the issues that I pray about all the time is there are individuals in here right now in our families who have poor health. And if you have your health and strength right now, you need to say thank you, Lord. I'm telling you, you get sick, boy. Yeah, you get sick and you're on medication and your body's hurting all the time. Lord, that is a challenge. Yes. But then you start talking to people and you realize, first of all, you're not in the boat by yourself. Lord, there are a whole lot of folks who, if we could tell you our stories right now, of what we're going through, or what things that are happening in our lives, but at the same time, look in your Bible. One of Jesus's major challenges when he was on this earth, he healed the sick. There were sick, has been sick folk all. Matter of fact, if you got something wrong with you this morning, raise your hand. I just want everybody to look around and see that. What's this rate? Yeah, most of us are hurting some kind of way. And that's a big joy. But if you want to get to a better place, you got some things only God can get you through. And you can't do some of this by yourself. And I'm looking at this, and I'm saying, the challenges. Notice, you remember Paul. Listen to what he said in 2 Timothy 4. In the future, there is laid up for me a crown. What is the thing that got Paul to realize? See, God, he was formerly a persecutor, but he says, in the future, there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness. Now, you can handle this poor health in one or two. You can be totally defeated, totally decimated, stay depressed. Woe is me. I don't know why it's happening to me. You see, it's not just you, first of all. Or you can have a different attitude about the situation to get you from here to there. And Paul recognized, and that's why Paul said at the end of his life, I fought a good fight. Yeah, I fought a good fight. I've finished my course. I've kept the faith. I've kept the faith. I didn't give up. Yes, and you can cry all day. You can cry buffalo tears. You can whine. You can call all your relatives and say, why y'all not coming to see me? Or you can thank God and pray and minister to somebody else. Amen. Yeah, that's a bit. But Gary, you just don't know what I'm going through. I know I don't. God does. Paul went to the Lord three times. Paul, even in all of this, he said, Lord, would you remove this thorn where this thing is killing me? But Paul never stopped. He never stopped ministering. He never stopped working. And he went in the recesses of his wherever his home was, wherever spot he prayed. And you know he cried, Lord, I need you to take this from me. Amen. And what did God tell him? My grace, my faith. Paul, I know this is hurting you, but Paul, you all right. Paul, you're going to make it. Paul, I'm with you. I haven't forgotten you. I know it's hurting, but it's just temporary. Yes, sir. Keep your faith in me, Paul. Don't give up on me. Yes. Lord have mercy. Oh, that's a Jordan. I know I'm not making light. Not making light. Sometimes our Jordan River can be a person. Because people will hurt you. People will get on your nerve. People will make you lose your soul. Amen, somebody. And, And you need to figure out how you're going to see something. Oh, Lord. You got to trust God. You got to stop using your own techniques and all your own mind and skill. Sometimes we say, well, I gave him all of my mind. Don't give nobody all your. And even when you're not with the person, that person is destroying you. No, it's not that person. Even when you're not with, they're consuming your thoughts and your energies and you're thinking and Yeah. God is able. God is able. Take a different approach. Don't let them consume. When your thoughts come, pray to God. Lord, help me. Help them. Help me. Help me to be better. Help me to have a better attitude. Help me not to go toe to toe. Help me to do something positive. Help me to escape this situation. Lord, and sometimes you need to walk away from a person. I don't know who that person might be, but if you can remove yourself, leave. Amen. Don't be around. Brother Gary, you telling me to leave my husband? Don't leave your husband, sister. Don't leave your wife, brothers. I'm not telling you the Bible says, well, God has joined together, let no man put asunder. I'm not saying that, but there are some situations that you need to change your attitude and your actions. Amen, somebody. Yeah. The Jordan River. God is able. Oh, no, you don't know what you're talking about. God is able. Yes, he is. Yes, see, you change and see, don't God. You do God's will and see, don't God. Part your joy. Amen, somebody. But you got to trust. That sounds so simple. It's God's way. Can I issue a challenge through God's word? Can I issue a challenge through God's word? As they were faced with this challenge of crossing this moving river. And you know, and see, listen now. Listen, somebody got to receive this. See, God went to Joshua, who was a man of faith, worked with Moses, saw God work. As a matter of fact, all the people saw. He went to Joshua. Somebody got to receive the challenge. And you know, who is that person? I don't know. I hope it's you this morning. See, you have to receive the challenge. Somebody in the family. Well, Bulgaria, somebody else needs it. No, we're talking to you this morning. And so I just want to issue a challenge to all of us. If we're gonna get from here to there, 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 18. I read this last week. But grow. The challenge is this: grow before you die. See, grow. He says, grow in grace. That's favor. That's simply. See, we grow in grace with God by being gracious to others, by obeying God's word, by being very deliberate in what we say and what we do. Paul told the Colossians church, he says, whatever you do, whether in word, see, that's what you say, or indeed do all in the name, by the authority of the Lord Jesus Christ. Whatever you do, get that in your mind, whatever circumstances, while you're at home, where you're eating, where you are play, whether you're at work, wherever you're at church, he says, watch what you say and watch what you do. Why do you want to do that? Because you grow in favor with God. You think God don't recognize you? Oh, look at my servant. She used to curse like a sailor, but she's curbing her language. Oh, no, I can't talk like that. Why can't you talk like that? Because it's not pleasing in God's eyesight. One young man asked me, Brooke, what's wrong with cursing? I said, it's not pleasing to God. With the same forth mouth come forth blessings and cursing. The Bible says it should not be so. How are you going to tell somebody about Jesus, invite them to church, and then... Yeah. You see, that's how we grow in favor. That's how we get from here to there. We work on ourselves every day. Anybody got some work to do this morning? Yeah. What we say. You know, how we talk to our children. You know, God knows if you're a mean wife or a mean husband. And you know, see, I tell you, everybody think of a mean person. Don't say nothing though. Be kind. God loves kindness. Be kind one to another. Tenderhearted. We're talking about growing in favor. How to get from here to that? Make some conscious effort to gain the favor of God. You can't just keep running folk down and gossiping about everybody, talking about everybody, being nasty at everybody. I don't know why my life is not better. Oh, have mercy. Yeah, see, it's not rocket science. Yeah, and see, because when we grow in favor with God, see, when God opened a door, it's open. Yeah. And Peter, he writes to the church, he says, grow in grace, that's favor. And you, some of you know how to do it. You know how to do it. I'm not talking about superficially doing it, but grow in grace and knowledge. See, you grow in grace and you learn. If you want to get from here to there, you got to know more than what you know today. Amen. Amen, somebody. It's practical. It means that everybody can do it. That's real. That's why you shouldn't ever, if you have the proper help, you should never forsake the assembling of yourself when God people meet. Amen. If it's within you, your health and strength, you ought to be trying to get everything you can. Because you don't get this on TV. You don't get this in your civic groups. Bible class where you grow in learning and knowledge of the word of God. We're talking about how to get from here to there, how to make things better. See, yeah, as a seasoned saint, older members, seasoned saint. What are they, what's the age for seasoned saint? I know AARP say it's 55. Isn't it 55, AARP? 50? Is it really? That's why I've been getting all this mail. I'm like, why are they sending this to me? See, if you're a seasoned saint, you haven't made it to heaven yet, have you? Can seasoned saints grow? Yeah. See, or do you just want to stay where? I'm 80 now. Man, ain't finna change nothing. And you know, I know they're not in here. I know they're not in here, but some seniors, that's how some of them think. And that's why they say, well, I've been saying it. Don't mess with me. Because I've been this way, and I ain't finna be changing now. Just making excuses because of their taking liberties that because you old don't mean you can say. I wish somebody else was here so they can hear this. Because, see, if you're going to get from here to there, you got to cross some of these Jordans. See, now, the Jordan is not the reward. See, notice this. Now, don't mix this up. See, your Jordan, the job, the person is not the, it's the obstacle that keeps you from the reward. See, now, they had to cross over, but they had some other things that they had to do. But some of us won't make the step. We make excuses and say, look, I'm going to just stay. I'm all right. Right here. If you're all right right there, that's one thing. But if you're trying to get better, you got to cross something. And you know, as an older member of the Lord's church, do you wanna get better? Do you wanna grow in more grace and favor? Lord, you know what? I know you feel the same way I do. As I get older, I'm trying to get kinder. Yes. I look here, I ain't got time to be mad for 2 weeks at my wife. I be thinking, look, I don't know how much time I got. I ain't slept with my wife in 3 weeks. Oh, you, something wrong with the brother, sis. What you talking about? 2 days. 1 day? We get mad, my wife and I get mad, war, sometimes we be fussing, and I say, look, what you gonna cook me? What we going to eat? Ain't got time for that. Oh Lord. And you, some of be you for some of you in here right now, you about to have a massive heart attack. Cause you packing anger. Sometimes, well, how you do that, Brother Gary? You just let it go. Say, Lord, God, I know this not pleasing to you. Baby, let's make up. Some of you just need to learn how to, a single person. You single, and and it's tough being a single. It's been single and in where we are right now. It's tough. But you can do it. Can I tell you, say something? Can I say this to you singles? It's tough being married. I just wanted to drop that in on you. Being married is not heaven, amen, somebody. Now, wait a minute. Being married is good, y'all. It's good. I just want to put some perspective on, because see, sometimes we are depressed and we so down because, you know, your life can. Mm-hmm. There are a lot of beautiful things that you can do as a single person that bring glory to God, bring peace to you. I was so beautiful seeing all of us, many of our singles over here on Thursday. What was it, Thursday? Friday, when we were distributing Thanksgiving dinners and meals, and I said, "Thanks the Lord, boy, this is one." You know, all this energy, all this just, you know, if you Bible school teachers, you grow. Well, don't become complacent. It's because you read one book and read commentary, and you think you got it down. Keep studying. Yeah. Who in here knows everything the Bible has to give us? Tell me, how can we be so arrogant as a Bible school teacher to think we got the answer to everything in the Bible? Who don't need to learn? Who don't need to go to school? Who don't need to keep getting better in here? Stand up so we can see you. Nobody has all the answers to anything. Lord, I pray all the time. People ask me questions. I'm like, give me a minute. Grow. Cross to and see. And it's difficult. Sometimes it's difficult to admit that you don't know everything. Yeah, as an elder, as a deacon. Yeah. As a member, as a husband, as a wife, as a parent, as a son, as a daughter. How's your relationship with your parents? How have you been as a child? Are you old enough to understand? Hear me now and understand? You understand? You want to stay? You want to keep fighting? Are you winning that? See, you're not going to win that battle anyway. You take a different approach. You want God's favor. You know, you're not going to be there that long. You know, I understand that now. Now it's amazing. Teenagers, let me just say this to you. I'm gonna tell you, your teenage years go so fast. And I promise, if the Lord lets you live to be 30, mark my words, you could be. I'm not a prophet, but I'm mark my word. If the Lord lets you live to be 30, and as soon as you get a job, as soon as you get your little apartment, as soon as you get a car, when you get to be 30 years old, promise you, and a little bit older, you're gonna be saying, "Ooh, Lord, I wish I could go back to." And the moment it come to your head, say, "Brother Gary said that, didn't he?" More your life if you live 4 score, 3 score, and 10, 70 years. Thank you. If that's 70 years old, you get to 20. More your life you live as an adult than as a teen. Do abide by the rule. Make your life easier. Make God bless you. Allow God to bless you. Yeah, so don't rebel. Don't fight everything. Because your parents are trying to, they're trying to do the best they can. They're trying to make the best. They're trying to keep you out of trouble. Amen. If you want to get from here to there, you better listen to your parents. Okay, they just think they right all the time. I'm sick of, be quiet. This burns my heart. Is that 9 o'clock? Oh my goodness. Let me just say this. Two nights ago, somebody been breaking in our car where I live. Somebody been breaking in our cars 5 or 6 times. They come and they crack the doors and ramble in the doors, steal change, it's happened. I'm literally 5 or 6 times in the last 3 months, and it must be 2 or 3, 4 o'clock in the morning, and we call the police twice, file 2 police reports. Friday night, I don't know. I guess number the Lord. I got up to use the restroom, and I said, "Let me peep out here." I peeped out the window, and I saw the car door open, and I thought it was my son-in-law because it was in his car. His car was parked on the side, and I said, "What is he doing out there in the car?" And I started to leave. I went to the room, and I said, "John, I saw him in the." I said, "Get up." We go to the window. This guy was in the car, rambling in the car. And I said, call the police. We call the police. And of course, you know, he was Rambo. I'm 56 and I'm not finna run after nobody. and I wanna live. I said, "John, just call the police." Well, of course, he didn't call the police. Well, we call the police. But he didn't want to wait on the police. And I let him tell you the rest of the story. But he caught the young man. He was 15 years old. Stand up if you're 15 back there. Stand up if you're 15 back. Anywhere in here. 15-year-old boy, young man. Come on, don't be shy. Stand up. I know we got somebody 15. 15. Don't make me stand, make you call you. 15. Somebody in here, 15 years old, 16 years old, 14 years old, 14, 16, 14, 16, 14, 16. Stand up. Look, stand. 14, 16. This young man, let's see, what's your name? The bright next to you, Tyler. What's his name? Stephen? Devin. Tyler, how old are you? 14? The young man looked like Devin. Wow. He was. Listen. He was thin. And his life, if that had been anybody else, probably than my son-in-law. And my son-in-law was all over. And I said, thank you. I said to my son-in-law, "Don't kill him." I did. I said to him. And I don't think he was going to kill him, but I said, "Don't kill him." And the boy the whole time, you know what he was saying? "Please don't kill me. Please don't kill me." He said, "I'm in the 8th grade. Please don't kill me." He said, "I have a baby. Please don't kill me." Police came, they put him in handcuffs, and they took him away. Well, I didn't get to half my lesson this morning. And here, all of the promises that God made to the children of Israel, the promises he's made. You see, those of us that are in here, we're people of faith. People believing that God can do all things. But we're still living defeated lives. Many times, many of us. And this world is, it will eat us. It will eat us alive. And I guess next week, Lord said the same. I actually had the titles of all my lessons up to, but I'm going to have to finish this because I want you to see the commitment that God gave to Joshua. And I want you to see God's commitment to us and the power and the personalness of it and the permanency of God's commitment to us. And I think it will help us to get better from here to there, because sometimes we just can't see it. We can't see what's out there. Why is worth it? Why should I do this? And I'm hoping, I want you to pray, especially those that come down, I want to pray for this young man. Baby, what's his name? This what's his name? Oh, well, maybe no, I shouldn't call his name. Couldn't call him. He might be your kinfolk. But I want you to pray for him. Pray for all of us. As we, because, you see, no quit time right now. We want to talk about our families. We will not quit. We are not quitting. Do not quit on your family. Don't quit on your children. Don't quit on yourself. Don't quit on the Lord. Yeah. You're here today. You're not a child of God. You need to be. It's the best life. It is. The Christian life is the best life. The world is, it's a tough world we're living in. The alternative, some, you know, people be doing all that talking. I say, what's your alternative? What you got for me? I found nobody with anything better than a life spent dedicated fully to God. Amen. You're here today and you're not a Christian. You come by faith, believing that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. God sent his only begotten Son to the earth to die for our sins, that we might have a right, that we might have the opportunity to have eternal life. If you believe with all your heart that Jesus is the Son of God, if you're willing to repent of your sins, to confess Christ, to be baptized in water for the forgiveness of your sin, he adds you to the body, to the church, and he gives us every tool that we need to live on this earth and to live a fulfilling, a happy life and eternity in heaven. And somebody need to obey the gospel this morning. Somebody need to ask the Lord to help you to cross your Jordan, to realize all what God has given us and is waiting for us if we dedicate our lives fully to him. But notice, it's only when we dedicate our lives fully to him that we realize all the blessings that God has for us. You want to come and be baptized? You want our church to ask for prayers for you this morning? Come as we stand and sing the song.
Here I labor and toil as I look for a home. Just and humble abode among men. And while in heaven a mansion is waiting for me, and a gentle voice fleeting, come in. And there's a mansion now.